Welcome to the Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is RFERL senior correspondent Merhat Sharibjian. Welcome, Merhat. It's good to have you on the show again.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So one thing that's happening this week, actually today, final arguments began in the trial of Ayub Titiev, the head of the human rights group Memorial's office in Chechnya. Titiev has been jailed for more than a year now on what he and Memorial say is a fabricated charge of marijuana possession. At the hearing today in Shali, the state prosecutor recommended the court convict him, of course, and sentence him to 4 years in prison, which I believe is, I think the maximum would be 10. They're asking for 4 years in prison. Amnesty International called the case an affront to justice and said the trial is, quote, revenge for Titiev's work exposing rights abuses in Chechnya, the region which has been ruled by Kremlin-backed Ramzan Kadyrov for 12 years since Putin appointed him. Merhat, you watched a news conference that Memorial held in Moscow last week, I think it was, to discuss Titiev's case and the trial. Apparently, participants laid out the grounds for the claim that the charge is fabricated and also some doubts, among other things, about the sole witness for the prosecution. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I watched the whole press conference. Several lawyers were presenting their views and what's happening there. It was interesting to see that the investigators found a single so-called witness who claimed that 60-year-old Titiev was smoking marijuana, and he witnessed that. He saw him smoking marijuana hours before he was detained, and the whole testimony by this person, Suleiman Balhanov, was a bit strange, because first of all, this person has a criminal record himself. He was has at least two criminal records connected to marijuana, and also his testimony looked very convenient to charge Titiev. The thing is that another single thing which links him to the marijuana they say they found in his car is Titiev's hair found on a scotch tape which was added to one of the bags meanwhile from the outer side, and that bag has no holes, nothing, and there were no fingerprints, nothing. The only thing which was linking Titiev to that package was a hair, and Titiev's lawyers claimed that he was during one of his interrogations, the interrogators put scotch tape on his head and warned him that they're going to beat him. And then all of a sudden, a senior officer came in and started reprimanding the police and saying that you have to stop it right away. And according to the lawyers, this is the way how they found hair. After they removed the tape, this very tape was adjusted to the pack, and this is how they... Well, the whole thing, you don't have to be an expert or a forensic specialist to find out, or to have a judicial background to see that this kind of things in a normal court wouldn't be admissible.
So the hair was like the only piece of material evidence that the prosecutors used to try to link Titiev to alleged marijuana possession.
Yeah, so in other words, there is one witness who is whose testimony is shaky, and the evidence, the only evidence is just a tape with his hair.
Okay. And I mean, he has said from the start, I believe, that the marijuana was planted on him. I think it was in the morning that he was detained on his way to work, essentially, and he's said to be kind of a teetotaler who does not use drugs. So that's what he and Memorial and other human rights groups have been saying since the start. So, you know, we'll see, I guess, what happens. I mean, with the trial, it's unclear, I guess, whether it's going to end today, you know, or end this week, or exactly when the verdict's going to be. I mean, Kadyrov has never hidden his distaste for human rights activists. Some of those who have worked in Chechnya have ended up being killed. There was Anna Politkovskaya, a journalist, obviously, whose reporting was in some ways a form of activism, and Titiev's predecessor, Natalia Stamirova, who was abducted and shot dead in 2009. I mean, obviously, on one level, this case, like many things that happen in Chechnya, is a test for Putin, with the question being, will he ever, you know, will he assert his control and central government control, or the rule of law, really impose the rule of law, the constitution of Russia in Chechnya by reigning in Kadyrov? I mean, in this case, what it seems unlikely that, well, at least Amnesty International researcher Natalia Prilutskaya said today there are clear signs that an acquittal is not in the cards, regardless of the evidence. And, you know, there are very few acquittals in Russia. I don't know the statistics in Chechnya itself. So, you know, I guess one thing to watch would be the sentence, though. Prosecutors asking for 4 years. The maximum is 10. I mean, do you think it's possible that there'll be sort of a signal sent with the sentencing?
Well, I think in this kind of situations, well, of course, if as Novikov said, after Kadyrov said publicly that Ayub Titiev is a drug addict, at the just days after he was arrested. And after this kind of statement, according to Novikov, just imagine, is there any court inside Chechnya which is going to rule otherwise?
Right.
So it's one thing. Another thing is, but the situation like this, when international organizations, Western governments are raising their concerns and urging Russia to take care of the situation and release Titiev right away, there might be a solution to save the face. He will still be convicted, but most likely the sentence will be either very light or the 14-month Ayub Titiev already spent in prison in pretrial detention and is still there might be considered as enough time to be defined as a punishment for him.
Right. So, yeah, it's possible he could get time served. I mean, my guess is it's going to be more than that, but it is hard to say. I mean, but obviously the point is in the past also that the Kremlin or the courts have used kind of the sentencing, whether there's a suspended sentence or a real prison sentence, you know, since there are so few acquittals, you know, they use the sentence as a kind of way to signal, you know, essentially what they can get away with and what kind of message they want to send with these with trials that critics say are trumped up. So another thing this week happening, this week is considered by some to be the 30th birthday of, this is a different subject pretty much altogether, but 30th birthday of the World Wide Web, 30 years since a computer scientist named Tim Berners-Lee proposed an internet-based system of hyperlinks to allow computers or the people using them to share information. Now, Berners-Lee now says the idea was to encourage collaboration for the good of the world, solve problems, but he says now it's often used to spread disinformation and hate, and I believe he's quoted as saying it has been hijacked by thieves, at least in some, or by crooks, rather, in some cases at least. I find it interesting that 30 years after this idea for the web was hatched, thousands of Russians came out yesterday to protest legislation that they say is part of an effort by the Kremlin or by the state to increase state control over the internet and stifle dissent. Backers of the bill that they're protesting against say it's known as the Sovereign Internet Bill. They say its main aim is to make what the backers say its main aim is to make what they call the Russian segment of the internet more independent, guard against cyber attacks, and allow the operation of the Russian part of the internet in the event of an effort from abroad, from the West, to essentially cut Russia off. Now, Merhat, these protests were pretty big, more than 15,000 people in Moscow alone, and these, which is, I guess, fewer than for several of the Bolotnaya protests in 2011, 2012. There were sometimes 25, 35, even said to be 100,000 people there or more. But it's still 15,000. It's more than most protests in the past few years. What do you think? Will there be further protests if this legislation moves forward?
I think there will be protests because the internet in the today's situation in Russia and many other former Soviet republics is turning to the single platform for many to share their opinions, to exchange thoughts and opinions, and share stories. And that's why it's very important. And the internet itself in the former Soviet Union is very important. And from the very beginning, it just grasped everybody's attention. Unfortunately, many hackers in the West are from the former Soviet Union. That's also one of the indications how popular the internet is. The IT technologies are in Russia. But also another thing is like people like Pavel Durov, who created ВКонтакте and the Telegram platform. He's like Zuckerberg for Russia. And this person had to leave Russia. In any other country, he would be like a pride of the nation, and will be cherished by the people. And he is cherished by young people who know what he did for them. But unfortunately, the establishment makes everything to make these people leave the country. So this is one of the indications how important the internet is there, and how people who support the internet and including Mr. Durov and just the internet in general, there will be especially young people, there will be gathering and protesting it.
Yeah, I mean, I think most young people probably, you know, don't buy the idea that okay, we're doing this to protect Russia, because I mean, in some ways that's a very similar argument to, you know, to what Putin uses instill patriotism, or you know, he uses the argument often that the West is out to get the U.S. out to get Russia. So I think the state is using a fairly similar argument here, and I do agree. I think I mean, this is going to be a bit of a showdown as time goes by. I mean, obviously Navalny uses the internet, you know, and others who are trying to get across messages that the state does not like. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and Putin has said many times it's hard to control the internet, but in some ways it seems like he is taking steps. The state is taking steps to try to do that. So. We'll see how it turns out, but it is going to be kind of a continuing showdown, I think. Okay, well, let's wrap it up for today. I'll be back with a guest next Monday. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for The Week in Russia, my newsletter about recent events and what they might mean going forward.